Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. You can send all your prayer requests and correspondence and inquiries to the WIBR Warn Radio Network through our contact page on warn-usa.com. The WIBR Warn Radio is also on, you can find us on Sayscape, Telegram, USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, Pure Social, and Gab Social. You can listen and download the shows on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can also find us on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Don't miss the latest articles by The Watchman. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the featured articles. And this week, we have Deceived, Sin, Skin, and That Within. Deceived, Sin, Skin, and That Within all find themselves targets of a greater delusion. When looking today at our society in this new America, you will not have long to wait. The nation that was the emblem of freedom, faith, and opportunity is rife with troubles. The woke generation today has attempted by protest, threat, violence, and sheer tenacity brought the whole of America a new morality. These are ominous, biblical, and prophetic signs to America. And on warn-usa.com, we have our Anti-Christian Persecution Classic Warn Radio Series. It goes around the world, thus it is hard to keep ongoing persecution quiet. This show is a featured classic Warn Radio series. We bring it to you as we see all over the world hostile regimes persecute Christians, close churches, imprison or kill Christian leaders. We know about it, and we bring it to you. Be sure that the internet and the ability to get the news from around the world is helping oppressed people, especially Christians, who are at the hand of hostile governments and radical groups. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, in spite of the Biden administration and their effort to bring in every person from other nations, and in spite of the fact he set up special offices to run a long, endless line of illegals into this country, and guaranteed within 72 hours they'd go through.
And then just turn them loose in the country after 72
hours. Then just turn them loose in the country and let them go. Meanwhile, the unemployment is going up. The gas and everything is going up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the gas prices have jumped from 214 up to 263, I think I seen tonight, in just this month alone, just February alone.
Well, you know, as far as that goes, we've been warning a long time about, you know, judgment on America. I have talked about some of these things, and what Biden is doing is not surprising.
No, it's sad, though.
The problem of it is that people are just sitting around not doing anything. When it begins to get real bad, you know, and of course all the stuff they want to pass is against the constitutional rights, so they, one of the things that they're going to have to do is call all the states together for a constitutional convention, rewrite the Constitution, destroy the Bill of Rights, turn it into a socialist nation, and then you won't have any rights to break because
Bongino saying that they wanted to do with the have universal what? What was that? Everybody made the same wage? What did he call that?
Universal income.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's really not universal income. It is socialist, the way socialists pay everybody, and that's the reason they get everybody to want to come. They give them a certain wage. It's not really livable. It never goes up. And most of the socialist nations that do it never do get a chance to last very long because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
They have, of all the health care in the world, theirs is the worst.
Yep, that's
and
right.
And so, you know, this is what the Democrats want. Not all of them, of course, but, of course, everything Biden is doing is just, you know, it doesn't even make sense to even talk about it because we knew.
What else was that about? They were going to make, you weren't going to be allowed to own your business or?
Well, that's another thing. In a socialist society, you know, there's really not much of a thing about property. I mean, even in China, you know, under COVID, yeah, everybody's in the house, but the Chinese authorities have the rights to do pretty much whatever they want to. Just like the churches that had churches, they were their churches and they could call it their church until the government didn't like it, so they took them down.
Yeah.
So in communism of any kind, in Marxism of any kind, the government owns everything. You don't own nothing, and they promise to give you money, which don't work out. And like in China, one of the reasons they win in our economy is because all the goods that they make for American companies are done by people who get paid by the communist government. They get a little money, but I mean, it's cheap labor.
Yeah, it's sad. It's about slave labor.
So
what it is.
Yeah, so, you know, America is the last bastion on earth where this is really what it is.
Yep, sad.
And that's what they want to do. They live for it. Pelosi, I think, and Schumer and them, they dream of that. But you know, the bottom line of it is that the only reason that they want people to come in here and they're going to fill the United States with illegals, then they're going to try to pass a law which will allow them to become citizens. And the goal is to get enough of them that every year and every 4 years and 2 years, the Democrats will always win because of all the illegals.
Right.
Who are now citizens. And I wrote about that today in my article that we're still editing. It'll be out next week. And I did talk about some of these things in there, about why you don't want to give people stuff for free. One of our forefathers warned against it. And so at any rate, we're not discussing that, but we are discussing in Isaiah grace in the time of trouble. And we're going to get going on this.
It's because part 83.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
You see, when we're dealing with these issues, we see a lot of issues in the world that are going on right now. We classify ourselves in the last of the last days and the end of days. And America has a lot of enemies. It has a lot of sin. And there's a lot of issues right now. And so in real life, we're facing a lot of issues. And also in Isaiah, we are dealing with Judah. And we've been dealing with Judah and the Assyrian invasion for some time. But the difference in chapter 33 of Isaiah is that the prophet brings us around. In 2 Kings 18, it tells about in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced city of Judah and took them. And so this is the situation we're discussing. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah was trying to get the king of Assyria not to do anything, and he would willingly pay a fee, a penalty, if they would leave him alone. And so the penalty was made. Hezekiah, king of Judah, was to give 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars. He stripped it. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rubesarius and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah. Now that's what we're dealing with. Because the king of Assyria was supposed to leave Hezekiah alone, because that was what Hezekiah was agreeing to. But instead, Sennacherib sent the army and a trio, Tartan, Rabsarius, and Rabshakeh, who did a lot of the talking. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the Fuller's Field. So at any rate, that is 2 Kings. So we're dealing with a real-life situation happening in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. And the reign of Hezekiah has been better than what the other one was. And they have had bad kings, and Hezekiah was a good king. However, at this time, now in chapter 33 and verse 1, we're going to be dealing with the prophet talking about all this, speaking about all this again. And it's a little bit different. And the thing of it is, with Hezekiah giving Sennacherib gold, and the whole purpose was so they would leave Judah alone. But guess what? That didn't happen. And of course, when you have a big army like Assyria, and they find out you have gold, and you say, well, I'll give you gold if you'll leave us alone. Well, they have the army, you know, and they can come and take the gold. They don't need you to give it to them. But by King Hezekiah giving them the gold, they didn't have to take anything. They already had it. So when they did come over there, they had been pillaging a lot of things. They're not going back to Assyria. So they had a lot of pillage. Now the only issue here is that in the end, Judah gets delivered. And Sennacherib ends up getting killed, and all of his army gets killed by the angel of the Lord. And so this is the scenario. Now in verse 1, it says, "Woe to thee that spoilest." And this is the prophet telling Sennacherib, you're not going to rejoice. Now, you know, if we had a prophet here in America like Isaiah, you know, I think he would need to call fire down from heaven in order to get anybody around here to listen to him. But in the time of Israel, they did have a problem with the prophets. Isaiah, however, was a little different because he did have, during this part, 14 years. He did have 14 years plus of dealing with Hezekiah, which is a lot better than dealing with some of the other kings and the other officials. So, woe to thee that spoilest, referring again to the Sennacherib, and all the cities that got plundered, and, you know, on the way here, they plundered everything. And thou wast not spoiled. And so, in other words, they weren't spoiled. This has nothing to do with, like, the spoilage of food. This has to do with no one did anything to you. No one provoked you. You know, you just came along, and what you're doing is unjust. And so, you know, therefore, because it is unjust, and because Judah did not do anything, that God actually could deal righteously here and defend Judah, specifically Jerusalem, because a lot of the outlying areas had already been conquered. But you need to take the king. You know, that's kind of, you know, you got to take the king first, and then the rest of the of all the other cities could fall in line. But you know, on your way to the big city, you just attack and spoil and pillage anything that gets in your way. So that's what they did. And of course, there's other outlying nations as well. So Assyria, this was a big deal. And thou wast not spoiled. You know, they weren't provoked. It was a total, you know, Judah did nothing to to deserve this, you know. But the thing of it is, if you're a thug like the Assyrians were, you know, hey, they don't care. They don't need you to be a thug. They don't need you to be anything, because if they want to come and attack you and take your land, that's what they're going to do. And, you know, history is replete with people like that. Alexander the Great is one of them. You know, Genghis Khan. I mean, if they wanted land, they just took it. They were warriors. And so, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. And this is the thing, you know, Hezekiah was willing to give him money if he'd leave him alone. And he was supposed to leave him alone because he took the gold. See, that's the agreement. I send you gold, you receive the gold and the silver, and you're supposed to leave us alone. Well, he didn't. So he dealt treacherously. He deceived them. And it says, when thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. When thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. So when it all is said and done, the Assyrians who come, who didn't, you know, own up to the situation that that Hezekiah had willingly given them gold and silver, and see, it was Sennacherib who had agreed, well, if you give us this much, then we'll leave you alone. I mean, that's why he told Hezekiah how much he needed. But, so on Sennacherib, you can see that this was definitely treachery. You know, I mean, Of course, they got the army. They can be treacherous. They don't have to be honest. I mean, this is war. You know, this is Judah. Who cares about Judah? Who cares about the whole thing, you know? You know, they're Assyrians. They're powerful. They're warriors. You know, we don't care. You know, we'll tell them to give us gold, and if they give us gold, fine. We'll take it and go conquer them. And if they don't, we'll go conquer them and then take it. Either way, we're going to win. But, see, there is a situation here that the Assyrians weren't aware of. Of course, they have a god, you know, a pagan god that they would go, a warrior god that they would go to. And, you know, that's a lot of them. And that's some of the things Rabshakeh said when you read it in Kings. You know, no other gods have been able to deliver their cities and their lands from Assyria. But see, they're coming up against Israel now. The God of Israel is paying attention. And so here we see the prophet, this whole statement here is the prophet relaying to Judah and to the Assyrians, if they will hear, that you were dishonest, you came in here and what you did was dishonest, and you lied to the people, and you were treacherous, and I'm going to end, because you're going to cease to spoil, because I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to put an end to you. And so, you know, it took one angel. So, you know, I mean, them angels are pretty strong. One angel. You know, the army's nothing. I mean, wow. You know, that's the firepower. But in recent memory, have we seen anything like that? No. What do we see? Well, around the world, we see a lot of Christians dying for their faith, being slaughtered. We see other people's groups that are getting in trouble. There's a lot of signs and things happening in the world today that tells us that the whole world is being shaken. And there is coming a day again, though, when God is going to send a couple of prophets that will minister in power and in glory with miracles and signs, including signs that will be like fire. And it, you know, if someone tries to kill them, they will kill whoever tries to kill them. So this is, you know, we in the modern world have never seen this. And, you know, this one time under Hezekiah, this is quite a story to be able to actually live through it and see it. And verse 2, the prophet says, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning and our salvation also in the time of trouble. And this is a prayer for deliverance. Deliverance from Sennacherib's army. And, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We talk about grace all the time, or God's favor. And see, the Lord here is the personal covenant name of God, Yahweh. And so they're calling on the covenant God, Yahweh. And they're asking him for favor. Be gracious unto us. And letting him know that they have waited on him. And they want him to deliver them. Which would be a good idea. And in verse 3 it says, At the noise of the tumult the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself the nations were scattered. You know, I like the verbiage here. And the thing that's irritating when you look at the nations of men, even in America, Nadler said yesterday something about whatever the Lord thinks is not, you know, welcome in this chamber of Congress, something to that effect. He was You know, because they had talked about the fact that abortion is wickedness. And I mean, even a lot of Catholic cardinals have talked about Biden and his push in the abortion thing. And Nadler doesn't want to hear anything about God from Christians. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't believe it. Now, see, I unequivocally believe and absolutely have been preaching for a long time. Tower and I have been warning about judgment on the nations of men and on America. Now, see, when you're living in modern day, you do not think that that's going to happen. Most people like to be nominal Christians. That is, whatever I believe, I keep it to myself. I believe in God, and whatever people do, that's their business. Just leave me alone. And so, you know, as far as getting the gospel out, well, they're not going to get the gospel out. It'll make them mad. But those who take up the cross and follow Christ, live this, face down people who are opponents. They believe in divine healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. They're willing to go through persecutions in order to get the gospel out. Most nominal Christians never even get there. And in a nation like America that has a Judeo-Christian heritage, we are among people today that have erased the Judeo-Christian heritage in this country. And they're trying to erase the country itself, Christianity, faith, and even they've gone so far as targeting white people. But their real enemy is any color of skin that disagrees with them. And so when you get into the shaking, when you get into understand that when God moves, he moves sovereignly. He's not going to ask Nadler if it's okay. Matter of fact, Nadler, I can tell you from watching him on various newsreels, the guy has arthritis really bad. He has problems with his knees and his hips and a lot of other things because he can barely move. Nancy Pelosi's the same way. We saw this in a video one time when they knelt down with African stuff to give obeisance to BLM when they saw him, and they did this and had made a point of getting it on camera, and they all needed help getting up some, you know, Pelosi and Nadler and others. So, I mean, at any rate, you know, this is the thing. You know, you give people power, and they think we can do anything we want. Just like what's happening in America today with Joe Biden and the Democrats. You can go so far. But in the end, God judges the actions of people. And in this section, we are looking at a people that have fallen away from the Lord. And even though they're asking God to be gracious to them, they have not been like perfect little Judah. And they come off of some very bad kings and leaders. And, you know, among whom are Ahaz and Jezebel. And so you got a country that time and time again has gotten themselves in trouble. And now all of a sudden you have one of the most vicious armies that are on the planet at the time, the Assyrians. Of course, they came out of Nineveh, the Assyrian kingdom. But, you know, Nineveh fell. Babylon fell. Persia ended up falling. The Roman Empire fell. A lot of the nations of men fall, folks. And so there is one source, one power that rules in the affairs of men, that actively has the power to rise up. He's not a rock He's not a tree. He's not a mountain. He's not an animal. He's God, the Lord, Yahweh, holy, righteous. And when he moves, it's not a time that you want to be on the bad side of him. So he's going to move, and it's not like he's getting off the throne. To move the Assyrians, he doesn't even get off the throne. He's omnipotent, omnipresence, omniscient. He knows all. His spirit is everywhere. He's all-powerful. And so he just sends an angel. One little angel. I mean, Rabshakeh and all of his buddies got up there and they postulated before the Jews on the walls and, you know, well, you're going to be destroyed and no kingdom has ever been delivered from our hand and yada, 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 yada. It's kind of like Iran always yelling about they're going to destroy the Jews. It's like the International Criminal Court over in The Hague that's trying a case against Israel for war crimes. I mean, it made the news. I mean, they're going to do this and this and this. You know, folks, you're not going to do this, okay? You're going to do things in accordance with the will of God. And you can't just go willy-nilly and do what you think you can do, because in the end, you and your big mouth as you grow older, whatever it may be, it will find you out. Every word you speak, every deed you do, every little thing is going to come back to you. And so it's easy to read the Bible and say, well, you know, this God don't exist. We got people that specialize in disbelief. Well, we haven't seen God for a long time, and we were warned about those who would, mock God. Well, the Lord's coming. Well, it's been a long time since Christ was on this earth. We haven't seen him yet. What makes you think that he's coming back? He ain't coming back. See, this is their argument. They're not afraid of anything. That is until he shows up. You see some of that in Revelation where they scream to the rocks and hills, fall on us, for the day of his wrath is come. Hide us from him who sits upon the throne. Now there you can tell that the heavens are rolling back and it reveals the Lord God on the throne. Because they see the one who's sitting on the throne, that's the Father. But see, the one who's coming to extract justice is Yahweh, or Yahshua, Jesus. And he's going to be on a white horse. He's going to be coming with the armies of heaven. Now see, okay, big boy. Okay, big mouth. Let's see you stop him. You've slaughtered all the pastors. You went after every Christian you could find. You want to destroy Israel, big mouth. You have all your rockets. You have everything. You've managed to destroy. But your day is coming. Because in the end, you're not going to change anything, and you will be in hell in the lake of fire. Actually, hell will be in the lake of fire. Because death and hell are going to be tossed into the lake of fire. But the Jews here, even though they've had problems, they said, "Oh Lord, be gracious unto us." See, today we can say, "Oh Lord, forgive us, be gracious unto us in Jesus' name." We're right there. You have another thing. People today, especially Christians, think the Jews didn't have any grace back then. That's a bunch of baloney. They didn't have a way to find forgiveness. That was baloney too. They didn't have anything about redemption. They sure did. They used blood. The blood of the animals. God had determined that it was through the blood that atonement would be made. And until Yahshua was to come, it was through his blood that permanent atonement would be made and they would have their sins totally removed. But until that day under the old covenant, they had to have regular sacrifices and blood atonement. That's why they have something called the Day of Atonement, or at-one-ment. And so in Isaiah 33:3, at the noise of the tumult, the people fled. The lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. You know, and I love this verse. It's like so many others we find in the prophets and even what the apostles talk about. See, you don't consider once about the thing, the little phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you had sense, you would get down on your knees and repent and fear the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and be united unto him. But see, it doesn't come with common sense. It comes through the Spirit of God. It comes with God moving in your heart and enlightening you to know. God can only be known. He can only be spiritually discerned, not discerned through the wisdom of men. So men and nations don't understand this part. They don't understand this part. Well, if we win the election, even though we cheat, if we can manage to get these things passed, we can change America, we can do whatever we want to. No, you can't. It's called God's providence and manifest destiny. The omnipotence of God. Because America's not going to be destroyed until this God allows it. But there will be shaking. There will be tribulation. Because frankly, God is not trying to save America. He's not trying to do any of that. He is getting people prepared for the end, that they might be saved. But you see, you know, this hasn't even happened yet, but at the noise of the tumult, the people fled. And, you know, if you're ever in war, and we've seen this already, it's been going on for many years, you know, the amount of people going up into the European Union who were taken in at the time there, you know, in the last 10 years, 15 years. Why? Because of all the troubles and the chaos that was going on. One of the biggest things was ISIS moving through the Middle East in 2014, 2015. I mean, they had connections, people that are working for them in Libya. They had a big group. Their original push was in Syria, going into Iraq. They had some who went into Afghanistan. And you have these groups even today in parts of Africa. And so everybody left. That's the tumult going on. But see, this tumult is when the Lord begins to move. And see, it's not like you're going to see him here. Now, when he does move, like if you think of Sinai, the children of Israel literally saw him on the mountain, and the mountain was on fire, and there was smoke, and it was frightening. And, you know, if you read the words, you can see that the people were absolutely petrified of what they had seen. They had never seen anything like it. They told Moses, "You go talk to him, and then come back and tell us. We ain't going to talk to him." You know, that's being smart. You know, if he's this big and bad, I don't want to go near him. And, you know, thinking, well, he'd just stay on the mountain. Well, this is a God. You know, he can get off that mountain. He can walk and go anywhere he wants to, kids. But for them, they felt, you know, as they were at a safe distance. As long as he stayed up on the mountain away from him, Moses would go up and talk to him, they were going to be happy. See, Rabshakeh, Sennacherib, none of them thought that there was any God around that was going to stop them. Now, see, this is the way judgment works with God, because he allows the wicked to come to their fullness. Now, remember that. There's a fullness. In Revelation, the whole thing leads to two harvests. The harvest of the wicked and the harvest of the righteous. Both have come to the fullness. The wicked to the fullness of the absolute worst of wickedness that it can be, and the other one is the absolute fullness of the righteousness to which it can be. That is where we're headed. But you see, Isaiah says that the noise of the tumult, the people fled. Yeah, because it does record Sennacherib left. And you can bet you that there was a few of them that were allowed to escape to go back to their home. And of course, Sennacherib was killed with his son, by his sons while he was worshiping his god in his god's temple. I was thinking it was Dagon, but at any rate, they did get away. But yet the hand of the Lord reached him, and he wasn't anywhere around, because he came back in defeat. You know, you can't come back as a king in defeat. The people ain't going to want you around. And his own sons killed him. But see, this is the thing. See, in America and the nations of men today, we are not afraid of the Lord. We are not afraid of the end of days. We are not afraid of judgment. But we are afraid of global warming. They were definitely afraid of Donald Trump up there. They despise the Christians and everything else. And they still got the fences and the National Guard surrounding the Capitol because they're still afraid somebody's going to attack them. They're afraid that because of their agenda being so radical that someone's going to rise up and kill them all. Well, maybe that's what they deserve, but nobody's come near them to hurt them, because they want to hide their deeds behind barbed wire and an army. Now, that tells you how honest they are. This is in America, folks. If you think this is going to work out well, you got another thing coming. Because there are Christians praying in this country. There are Christians that believe in miracles and signs and wonders. And I'm one of them. And I'm telling you, justice will come around. And for those who are doing wickedness up there in that capital, they will meet. Their fate will come true. For the Lord will reckon back unto them for the things that they have done. The nations of men the same way. And it may seem like today wickedness and evil are triumphing and that there's no stopping them. But see, that's when evil advances. And see, that's exactly what God allowed Sennacherib to do. To move to the very gates of Jerusalem, thinking that nobody could stop him. He had no clue that as he brought this huge army with all the victory and all the pillage and all the gold and all the stuff that they had taken, that they would be absolutely destroyed in one night by one angel, and he would flee and eventually get killed later. He had no clue, and evil today has no clue, because they march on and God allows them to go forward until they reach a certain point when the iniquity has come to its full, and then God rises up and their end is quick and sure. And if you have any sense about you, it says that the noise of the tumult, the people fled. They sure did, and we're talking about the rest of them that didn't get killed, a great amount of them, almost all of them would have died. Just Sennacherib and an entourage would have been left. That's the only thing that would have been left from this. But see, the children of Israel, they were hiding behind the walls. And even the next morning, if you read in Kings, you're going to find that they still didn't want to go out because they were afraid. They didn't see anybody. They thought they were all hiding in tents waiting for them to come out. Well, finally they did find out that they were all dead, that everything was just laying there. That's how the Lord works. And see, this is why there is a God of the universe. There is justice in the universe. There is justice here on this earth. There's justice in America, but don't expect justice from the Supreme Court, which we've really seen. Maybe they'll change. But see, the judgments of men is not the judgments of God. Make no mistake here. There is a true judgment. And this judgment is not going to fail, and it's not going to slow down. It's going to arrive in its own time. And verse 4, it says, and your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. As the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. Now, if you want to know something about locusts, you read Joel's about all the different locusts. The army of Joel. It devoured everything. You see, there's nothing left. Sennacherib's gone. Overnight, it's just like, you know, the people went to bed. They knew. They've had it. And, of course, people were believing God. We know that Isaiah and was there, had warned the king, Hezekiah. Hezekiah would have been praying, believing God. But all they could do is wait. Now see, there was another time that the Jews waited. This is in modern time. And the only reason I know this story is because a Jewish messianic prophet who would go to Israel and talk to the chief priests, told me this story. And they were talking about the time that all the Jews died at the hand of Hitler. And the priest said, the high priest was speaking, he says, we thought God was going to deliver us. You know, the Lord had delivered them. They had reason to believe that. They believed that. But he says, had we have known he wasn't going to deliver us, we would have fled. You know, we would have ran away. We would have gone somewhere. But we stayed believing God would deliver us. And that's how so many millions died. And that was from the words of the high priest. Well, this messianic prophet is dead and gone with the Lord. But you get the idea. In the New Testament, it's clearer. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That settles it. The bottom line of it is, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That means you're born again. You believe on Yahshua, who died on the cross, the blood of the covenant, you've received him, and you've been born again of the Spirit. The second part of that, they overcame by the word of their testimony. The Lord himself said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you. And it goes the same way. If you deny him, he will deny you. And then the last part of that, love not their lives unto the death. If you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. If you save your life, you will lose it. This is a little bit of the wake-up scripture. But you see, back in the Old Covenant, they were still in the land. Judah was. The northern tribes had already been taken away. Judah was the last to go. And so at this point here, this is all prophecy looking ahead. This is 14 years into the reign of Hezekiah. But the first, there was two kingdoms after Israel split in two because of the sin of Solomon. And the northern tribe is the one that fell the first. Now you have Judah, and it will fall when the next big event comes, and that's when Babylon attacks them. Now see, here again, when Assyria attacked them, they get delivered. When Babylon attacks them, they don't get delivered. They go into bondage for 70 years. Why? Because of sin, failure to repent. And you can put that, and as far as Christianity goes and Christians and nations, God does the same thing. He's a holy God. He didn't throw righteousness out with the bathwater. He holds to righteousness. And see, that's a big thing here. People in America, well, we're not as bad as the others. Well, see, that's what Israel wondered too. That's what Habakkuk wondered. Because he was talking to the Lord in Habakkuk, the first chapter, telling the Lord about how wicked it was. And he didn't like the fact that he had to go through all this. And I'm paraphrasing. And the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a bitter and hasty nation, and they're going to come in and invade your place. He goes into details about some of that, and I can tell you. Then Habakkuk says, well, why would you use a more sinful nation than us to judge us? You know, well, we're not that bad. Why are you using them to judge us for? They're worse than we are. But you see, God's means and methods you may not like. And in America, you cannot take away from the manifest destiny and what God has done in this nation. And you also can't take away from the fact that we have fallen away from the Lord. That the churches have fell away. That we have rampant sin. We have abominations that we do here, and we classify them, made laws to ensure that they're done and they're okay. For all intents and purposes, when we talk about that, we can say Mystery Babylon, we can say the whore in Revelation. America has drunk of her cup completely and have partaken of her abominations and sins. The nations are going to do that. So when we're talking about the judgment of Israel, don't think because you're in the New Testament and you're in this era that you're never going to see it. Now see, there's a lot of Christians that were brought up that way when we get into the dispensationalism, and then we got into the other fact of the pre-trib rapture and all this other stuff. And we, as people... you know, as a common theology, believed that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture and we're all going to be going away and we'll never see this stuff. I'm here to tell you, you will see it. Unless you die a natural death, this is coming. And the thing of it is that, and your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar at the running to and fro, the locust shall run upon them. Well, see, if you look throughout the troubles there and the judgments, you're going to see that there was devastation, you know, and like I said, Joel talked about the locust. This is talking about a caterpillar. And it means to cut off or consume. It denotes a devourer. And it relates to a species of locust. Now, you can find various species in when we're talking about Joel. The Septuagint renders this as if one were gathering locusts. So will they insult you. So as the judgment falls, Assyria becomes defeated. The army is dead. Sennacherib flees, but all the spoil that the Syrians had would be gathered up. And so the Jews would be running all over it like locusts or beetles. The word relates to a beetle here too. It's kind of funny. Running all over that, picking it up, and that's really how they found out in the first place, because there was a couple of them out there that wanted to get something to eat. They were outside the gate, so they just started going through there, and the people saw that they were running around and nobody was bothering them, so they all went out there. Found them all dead. Well, dead soldiers tell no tales. Dead soldiers don't kill. And so, that's what you call judgment. And see, they never expected that. That's also judgment. It's complete. That's God's judgment. There is no escape except for those who have applied for God's grace. And that's specifically mentioned in this section. So whenever you're talking judgment with the Lord and the way God deals with man, in the Old Testament we find God's favor, God's grace. In the New Testament, for by grace are you saved through faith. Make no mistake, God means what he says and says what he means. And so when we go through this, you know, the thing that's interesting is that we find within, you know, our own nation a lot of troubles. We find a lot of situations, and in today's world, people are more afraid of global warming than they are of judgment from God. And see, that's too bad. Because the judgment of God is a lot worse. Father, we thank you for your word and the hope that we have in you, no matter what. Bless the people. Help them to understand this. Bring them to yourself. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We got a lot of stuff on it. We're on a lot of different social feeds. So check them out. Tower.
Watchman. Also, check out the articles by the Watchman. They're very good. Interesting. They apply to this day and age we live in. And they'll encourage you. Well, I'll tell you what, Dana. I don't want to be on the other side of the Lord. These people that they're more worried about global warming than standing before the Lord God, they're in deep trouble. They don't understand the situation.
Yep. Yeah, they clearly don't understand the situation.
Nope.
What part of the judgment of God don't you understand?
Yeah, it's sad that they're blinded to the truth because of the cares of this world.
But the other side of this, you don't have to fear the judgment of God if you've received the Lord.
That's
and you
right.
walk in Him.
That's right.
Now, there is tribulation. Through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. But the bottom line of it is, we've got a race to win, and we've got to get her done.
That's right.
And with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. And we hope the best for you in Christ. Stay safe and look to Him. And all these troubles that are going on, He's the one that cares for you. We love you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.